Less than 30 years ago, a man was working in the same shop with Henry Ford, doing practically the same sort of work that he was doing. It has been said that this man was really a more competent worker in that particular sort of work than Ford. Today, this man is still engaged in the same sort of work at wages of less than $100 a week, while Mr. Ford is the world's richest man. What outstanding difference is there between these two men, which has so widely separated them in terms of material wealth? Just this. Ford understood and applied the principle of organized effort, while the other man did not. In the little city of Shelby, Ohio, as these lines are being written, for the first time in the history of the world, this principle of organized effort is being applied for the purpose of bringing about a closer alliance between the churches and the business houses of a community. The clergymen and businessmen have formed an alliance, with the result that practically every church in the city is squarely back of every businessman, and every businessman is squarely back of every church. The effect has been the strengthening of the churches and the business houses to such an extent that it has been said that it would be practically impossible for any individual member of either class to fail in his calling. The others who belong to the alliance will permit no such failures. Here is an example of what may happen when groups of men form an alliance for the purpose of placing the combined power of the group back of each individual unit. The alliance has brought both material and moral advantages to the city of Shelby, such as are enjoyed by but few other cities of its size in America. The plan has worked so effectively and so satisfactorily that a movement is now underway to extend it into other cities throughout America. That you may gain a still more concrete vision of just how this principle of organized effort can be made powerful, stop for a moment and allow your imagination to draw a picture of what would likely be the result if every church and every newspaper and every Rotary Club and every Kiwanis Club and every advertising club and every woman's club and every other civic organization of a similar nature in your city or in any other city in the United States should form an alliance for the purpose of pooling their power and using it for the benefit of all members of these organizations. The results which might easily be attained by such an alliance stagger the imagination. There are three outstanding powers in the world of organized effort. They are the churches, the schools, and the newspapers. Think what might easily happen if these three great powers and molders of public opinion should ally themselves together for the purpose of bringing about any needed change in human conduct. They could, in a single generation, so modify the present standard of business ethics, for example, that it would practically be business suicide for anyone to try to transact business under any standard except that of the Golden Rule. Such an alliance could be made to produce sufficient influence to change in a single generation the business, social, and moral tendencies of the entire civilized world. Such an alliance would have sufficient power to force upon the minds of the oncoming generations any ideals desired. Power is organized effort, as has already been stated. Success is based upon power. That you may have a clear conception of what is meant by the term organized effort, I have made use of the foregoing illustrations, and for the sake of further emphasis, I am going to repeat the statement that the accumulation of great wealth and the attainment of any high station in life, such as constitute what we ordinarily call success, are based upon the vision to comprehend and the ability to assimilate and apply the major principles of the 16 lessons of this course. This course is in complete harmony with the principles of economics and the principles of applied psychology. You will observe that those lessons which depend for their practical application upon knowledge of psychology have been supplemented with sufficient explanation of the psychological principles involved to render the lessons easily understood. Before the manuscripts for this course went to the publisher, they were submitted to some of the foremost bankers and businessmen of America, that they might be examined, analyzed, and criticized by the most practical type of mind. One of the best-known bankers in New York City returned the manuscripts with the following comment: "I hold a master's degree from Yale, but I would willingly exchange all that this degree has brought me in return for what your course on the law of success would have brought me had I been afforded the privilege of making it a part of my training while I was studying at Yale. My wife and daughter have also read the manuscripts, and my wife has named your course the Master Keyboard of Life because she believes that all who understand how to apply it may play a perfect symphony in their respective callings, just as a pianist may play any tune when once the keyboard of the piano and the fundamentals of music have been mastered. No two people on earth are exactly alike, and for this reason, no two people would be expected to attain from this course the same viewpoint. Each student should listen to the course, understand it, and then appropriate from its contents whatever he or she needs to develop a well-rounded personality. Take your measure. Make a self-analysis. See page 363 of my book, Think and Grow Rich. If you will answer all these questions truthfully, you will know more about yourself than the majority of people. Study the questions carefully, come back to them once a week for several months, and be astounded at the amount of additional knowledge of great value to yourself you will have gained by answering the questions truthfully. If you are not certain concerning the answers to some of the questions, seek the counsel of those who know you well, especially those who have no motive in flattering you, and see yourself through their eyes.